And now, an Envision Financial podcast with Luke Smith and Richard Pernow. For personal advice, visit envisionfinancial.com.au.
Luke Smith from Envision Financial. 4 million of us, Luke, have already said one way or the other, independence or whatever. What are the major changes, and what are you seeing, and what are you talking to your clients about at Envision that may have the biggest impact for financially, superannuation, the whole thing, if something happens tomorrow?
Yeah, look, the big one, as I say, the big one that's had a box of tissues on the desk has been the impact of franking credits. That's a real life serious issue for a very large portion of the population.
Yeah.
And I think the impacts of that are far bigger than Bill Shorten has considered. It is worrying. It is extremely concerning for a number of clients, because the impact of that from a retirement standpoint has been huge. People have worked very hard to save for their retirement and then use the franking credits as part of an active investment strategy to fund holidays, trips and general lifestyle. And for him to reach in and take them away, I think is just borderline un-Australian.
So, and your clients are saying, Luke, you know, what am I going to do if this happens?
Yeah, look, very much so.
Yeah.
And a lot of people generally say, well, if I'm going to lose them, how can I use them so he doesn't get them?
Oh, really?
Which is, and at the end of the day, unfortunately, from a client standpoint, whether you use them for something else or lose them, they're still gone.
Yeah.
That's very, very concerning. Also, the potential changes to the non-concessional contribution cap.
Mm.
Currently, it's $100,000. He's raised that he'd like to drop that to $75,000. Now, that has two implications. One, on an annual basis, it's harder to get money that you've saved into super. And two, there is a provision that allows you to put in one lump sum that is equal to 3 years of the annual limit. So we'd go from $300,000 as a one-off payment to $225,000. So from a preparation standpoint, people could have been doing everything they could to save to put into retirement, and he's going to go and throw a spanner in people being able to fund themselves, which people, I believe, should be rewarded for, because ultimately, if you can fund yourself, there's less pressure on the social system. And with an ageing population, it's been a topic of contention for many, many years that obviously as people age, there's a greater dependency on the government in relation to Centrelink payments.
Yeah.
And if you're going to try and reduce that burden, why not give people the opportunity to do more while they're working to fund themselves?
Wasn't the idea of superannuation, Luke, to take the weight off government funds?
Exactly right.
Taxpayer money?
Exactly right. It's a tax-effective structure that allows you to be able to fund yourself in retirement through consistent and clear planning. And to limit and make it harder and harder and harder for people to get money in is sort of counterintuitive to the purpose of aiming to be retired and ultimately the Australian dream of being able to do what you want to do when you finish working.
Well, I guess we'll know in either a very quick succession tomorrow once the polling booths close at 6, or it'll drag on forever and it'll be at 2 and 3. And then, of course, all of this stuff, no matter what policies have been announced over the last 3, 4, 5 weeks or whatever, seems like an eternity, won't have the tick of approval until it goes through the Red House or the Senate.
And look, and I stress that to people, that they shouldn't start dancing at shadows at the moment.
No.
A lot of people are saying, well, should I do this? Should I do that? Ultimately, as you've said, until it's law, it's not law.
Yeah.
And you need to be careful that if something's been proposed and you breach a limit or a threshold and it get introduced later, make sure you're not going to err on the side of getting caught.
Yeah.
So if they do drop that non-concessional limit to 75,000 and you want to put a lump sum of money in, what I'd be trying to think about is, okay, I'll hedge my bets. I'll put 225 in on the 1st of July. And if it doesn't get passed, or it does get passed, you know you're at the limit. And if you need to top it up to 300 because it doesn't get passed, you can.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be jumping to the rules today hoping they don't get changed, because if they do and they get applied and you've breached the limit, there could be obviously adverse implications.
But it's a long journey to go yet, isn't it?
Look, it's very much wait till it's law, because if it's not law, it's not law.
Oh, I got a saying, only play with the blocks you've got.
There you go.
You can build your own castle. You can have that. And if you'd like to talk to Luke Smith, you can do that now. Don't forget his office. You can have a coffee with Barb too. Talking about superannuation, Luke, from Envision, how do you get more money into your super? How do you get money into your super other than from your boss?
Yep, so two key ways that money goes into super. One is a concessional contribution.
We've talked about that.
Yep, that's right. And that's where everybody knows about the $25,000 limit.
Yep.
And that's where a tax deduction is claimed for money that goes into super. So what does that include? That includes personal deductible contributions. That includes your salary sacrifice contributions during the year from your employer.
That's when you go to the pay office and say, put another $20 in there,
please. That's right. Yeah. And also what your employer gives you. So your 9.5% super contribution under your workplace agreement or legislation.
Now, that superannuation percentage, 9.5%, that's for the average you and me, isn't it? There are super funds that are bigger than that.
Potentially, yeah, depending, that's right.
Public service may have a different one.
Yeah, look, if you're a member of the PSSAP, which is the accumulation fund for the government, 15.4% going in there under their agreement. So you need to make sure that whenever you're dealing with that $25,000 limit, you check and take into account what you get from your employer.
Yeah.
That's one thing we do see a lot of is, well, people have gone, yeah, I threw $25,000 in, not realising that their employer contribution counts, then you're in excess of your contribution cap, and then obviously there's things that need to be rectified.
What happens if that happens?
Well, you can be penalised.
Can you really?
You can get the money out of the superannuation fund. There are a few different ways that you can address it, but my motto is always, well, just avoid it altogether and just be on point.
You're not telling us to keep an eye on our super, are you?
Not at all, not at all.
Fair idea. Look under the hood, as you say.
That's right. Yeah. The second way money goes into superannuation is a non-concessional contribution where money's put into super and no deduction is claimed. So an easy way for people to remember what they're going to do is concessional, think deductible. Non-concessional, think non-deductible. So if you've saved $100,000 and it's burning a hole in your pocket, you can put that money into superannuation. Now, the benefit of a non-concessional contribution is that tax-free going in, tax-free coming out.
Ah, okay.
So that's very good for two reasons. One, you could be under 60 and start a tax-free pension. A lot of people assume you have to be 60 for it to be tax-free.
Yeah.
If you put it in tax-free, you can take it out tax-free.
Under 60.
Under 60. And two, from an estate planning perspective, any monies that are paid to non-dependent children are tax-free to them. So a huge thing to consider when you're thinking about your estate planning, if you put it in tax-free and you have adult children, it goes out to your adult children tax-free. Okay?
Yeah.
A concessional contribution that goes into superannuation is taxable to non-dependent children.
Right. When you talk about non-dependent children,
so
elaborate on that.
So a child over the age of 18.
Oh, right, 18. Even if they're living at home.
Correct.
Okay.
That's right. The tax law says over 18 is not dependent.
Yep.
The super law says a child is always dependent. So there is a distinction there. So you need to
Children are dependent for the entire of your life,
well,
mate.
As a lot of clients say, they're dependent till they're 50.
That's it.
That's what I get a lot of. So.
Well, they're staying at home now till they're 30. So
exactly.
There you go.
So they're the two ways that money go in, and obviously they're the two ways that people can build superannuation. And then what we'll touch on after the ad break is strategies that you can use to try and maximise the things that you do during the year, taking into account those two options, and some trips and traps that people should look out for.
What would determine the fact you'd either go concessional or non-concessional?
Okay.
What would be your determining factor?
So if you're looking to try and minimise your income tax or potentially reduce capital gains tax on an asset that you may have sold, then you'd look to try and put a concessional contribution in, because if you earn $100,000 and you throw $10,000 in a super, your taxable income would fall to $90,000. Now, the big benefit for a lot of people is the marginal tax rate on $100,000 is 39%. Money going into super is taxed at 15%. So there's a 24% saving on $10,000. Now, it doesn't sound like a lot, but if you had good, consistent behaviour and just threw $10,000 in each year that you could draw out of, say, an offset account that we've talked about in previous shows, you could put that into superannuation. You're $2,400 better off, but you've also then added to superannuation over time and got yourself to that concessional limit so that you've minimised your tax. We won't say avoid, but minimise your
tax. And we all want to minimise our tax.
Correct, that's right. And if you're not, well, you know, I'd say you probably should be.
Yeah.
So that's why you would use a concessional contribution. If you just sold a large asset,
okay,
or you'd sold an investment property, you inherited some money, or you were approaching pension age, so 60 plus and looking to retire, you'd be trying to get as much money into superannuation as possible via a non-concessional contribution so that you could start an income stream or an account-based pension with what you've accumulated in super to fund you in retirement, or have a combination of pension and part-time work.
Yeah. Luke Smith, how often can I put something in as a non-concessional or a concessional contribution?
You can put in as many as you want during the year.
Right.
As long as you do not exceed the relevant cap.
Right.
So you could put in one a month, you could put in one a year. I generally say to people, we touched on this in a previous show where I said salary sacrifice was dead.
Yeah.
I'm a big advocate of people paying down non-deductible debt and using an offset account to accumulate their savings, reduce the interest on their home loan, and then in June, sit down and say, right, what have I got to use? What do I need to get a deduction for? Am I better off doing it in super or keeping it outside? And if getting a deduction is important to you, you could use offset account money to put a contribution in June. And that way you've minimised the non-deductible debt on, say, your mortgage. But then you've also maximised your tax deductions at the end of the financial year.
And I can do that for my entire life? I don't have to worry about retirement age or anything?
Well, you need to be able to, I guess, first be able to make a contribution to super. So anybody under the age of 65 can put money in without having to work. Over age 65, you need to meet the work test, which is 40 hours in 30 days. So if you meet that once in a year, then you're eligible to make a contribution up to the relevant threshold.
Okay. And it's all about putting added super, making sure you live a little bit better in your retirement if that's what you want to do. But you don't have to retire to get all this, do you?
No, not at all. Well, this is something that...
There's no such thing as retirement anymore, anyway.
It's choosing to do what you want to do when you want to do it.
We're talking about how to put more money into our super.
Yep.
Concessional or non-concessional.
Correct.
How do each work? What's the strategy to make sure that things are going good with either of those?
Yeah, so look, some of the things that really impact how we can make the most of both of those opportunities are then considering other options. So we've talked about having offset accounts and redraw facilities to have access to capital leading into the financial year. So stacking those two strategies on top of each other is very good. Maximising your personal contributions obviously is very important because you can ensure that you claim as much as you can as a tax deduction. So a good budgeting and savings plan during the year is very, very good.
Financial year.
Correct.
Yeah, we've got to keep that
exactly
in mind, haven't we?
So both of these, I guess the big caveat is money must be cleared in the fund before 30 June.
Hmm.
If it's in the air and it lands on the 1st of July, you could have blown up next year, not this year.
And can that compound year year on year?
It can now on the concessional side.
Right.
So a piece of legislation was passed to say that where you don't use up your $25,000 limit, you can roll over or carry forward what hasn't been used, provided that your total superannuation benefit is less than $500,000 and it can be rolled forward for a maximum of 5 years.
Okay.
So that's a new piece of legislation that comes into effect 30 June this year as the first year that it's been law.
Hopefully they won't be thrown out of the...
Yeah, because it's a really good piece of legislation for people returning to the workforce, for mums and dads that have had young kids. Contractors whose income may go up and down over time, so you may not have been able to put it in last year, but you may have a better year this year and you can maximise what goes into super, which is obviously the name of the game. Looking at super splitting opportunities. So we've talked about this in previous shows.
Yeah.
We start to stack this one on top of a concessional contribution, and where you've married well and say there was 4 to 5 years difference between partners, you want the younger person making the deductible contribution, provided it's appropriate for them, and then super splitting 85% of that contribution to the older person.
Now, we talked about super splitting, and your phone rang off the hook
about
that,
didn't it? Look, I think it's one of the most underutilised things, because if, you know, we touch on myths and misconceptions, you can do it. You've been able to do it for a very long time, and I think it is probably the first or second most underutilised strategy out there for people, because when I explain it to them, they go,
Why didn't I know
I could do that? Yeah. How come I haven't been doing that for 10 years? Now, that isn't accumulative, so obviously that's very, very beneficial where you have a significant age gap, because you're bringing forward the younger person's preservation age, which is awesome, because I find most people like to try and retire together. Most guys won't agree with that, but, you know, we nod and do what otherwise.
Otherwise, you're going to be grey nomad on your own.
Exactly right. Yeah. The other thing, obviously, people need to be aware of, PSS and CSS members. So
now, this is different?
Well, it's slightly different because their fund operates slightly differently, but they need to be aware that there is an amount recorded against their concessional cap. So check that. They can log onto a website. It's very easy to find out for both concessional and non-concessional. Don't go over the cap. Check before you put money in. Now, the other thing that people also say is, well, I'm in the PSS or CSS, I can't do it. Well, you can, you just can't make that style of contribution to your defined benefit fund. So think about using another fund and maximise your opportunities.
Oh, you can use another fund?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
They can use any other fund. They just can't make those two types of contributions into the defined benefit scheme that they're in. And the same goes for DFRDB and MSBS.
Yeah.
So that's one that they can make the most of. And this time of year, think about starting pensions. If you don't have the money to make a deductible contribution, think about a transition to retirement pension or an account-based pension.
How does that work?
So if I've got $1 million in super and let's say I'm 60 and I'm still working, I could start a pension, a transition to retirement pension with the money that I have in super. And under the transition to retirement rules, you must take the minimum. So for somebody under age 65, it's 4%. the maximum is 10% of the value of the account.
Right.
So if I've got $1 million, I could take $100,000 out. Now, if I've only got 25 to work with, obviously I don't need to do that. But you could use a pension as a really good funding source to say, I pay out tax-free money, then I use that money to put it straight back into super the next day and maximise my tax deductions.
Okay.
So again, it's about using the resources that you have and the income streams that are available. And also look at when you're going to sell an asset. So if you own, say, an investment property and you're looking to try and sell something and it may realise a capital gain, selling it and using some of those proceeds to get your deductions up to $25,000 if you're not working, or up to your threshold if you are working, is a good way to just try and limit the impact of any capital gains on the sale of a larger asset.
Yeah, painting or, as you say, investment property.
Yeah, anything like that where you can try and obviously use the resources.
Can you do that a lot? I mean, you might have 10 investment properties.
Oh, look, it just comes down to the individual.
Right. Okay.
Depends on when you're selling assets. Now, if the legislation changes and capital gains goes, discount goes from 50 to 25, this will be more and more prevalent because you'll have a larger taxable amount in your own name potentially.
Okay. What do you consider an asset other than a house? Is your car an asset if you sold that?
Not really, because you don't generally make money on a vehicle.
But it could give you a bit of cash, couldn't it?
It could. Yeah, look, at the end of the day, funding mechanism is where can I get money to put things into super? If you're trying to limit capital gains tax, then obviously you'd need to realise a gain from the sale of it. So I bought a house for $400, sold it for $500. I'm going to have a taxable amount included. Using some of those proceeds in that example is a good way to try and mitigate the total impact of the tax.
Does the pension that you give yourself out of that money you've got, does that impact your pension from the government?
If you're underage pension age, No.
Okay.
No, it doesn't. Because that, until you reach age pension age, obviously it's not an assessable asset.
So it's not a pension because you're old. It's just a bit of petty cash on the way as you travel there.
All it really is accessing the super that you've accumulated as an income stream so that instead of putting it in, you're taking a little bit out.
Yeah.
It's effectively what you do in retirement. You accumulate your superannuation and then you draw money out to fund your lifestyle by way of a pension.
How do you increase deductions then?
Well, I think it's about making sure that you've got access to the appropriate amount of capital, having your structures in place correctly, using things like offset accounts and redraw facilities, and accessing resources like account-based pensions and transition to retirement pensions, or pulling out of one, say, let's say I'm working full-time and my wife's retired, pulling money out of her super because she's met a condition of release and putting it into mine is another way of using the resources that you have. Whilst you're shuffling it around, you're still benefiting from those tax concessions taking into account your broader investment portfolio.
Luke Smith from Envision Financial. You can contact them too, 6260-4749, or give him a call now. Okay, let's bust the myths about all of this stuff.
Okay, so some of the crackers that we get are the non-concessional limit doesn't exist. A lot of people don't know about it, so they come in and say, well, I've put my 25 in, I can't put any more in. A lot of people aren't aware of that, so obviously there are those two thresholds we've talked about.
Yeah.
You can take a pension under age 60 and it can be tax-free because it depends on how the money went in, not your age.
Right.
Okay, so...
And when can you start that pension?
Well, you need to meet a condition of release. So depending on what year you're born, your preservation age will go from 55 to 60.
Preservation age, okay.
And once you've hit that age, then you obviously have the ability to start a transition to retirement pension whilst you're working.
Yep.
Or if you've retired, you could start an account-based pension. Another thing that the people sort of don't realise is, as we said before, I'm in the PSS or CSS.
Yeah, can't do anything.
I can't do anything. Well, you can. Just got to do it outside of that particular fund.
Yeah.
So maximise your options there. Keep in mind that, again, for the CSS and PSS, DFRDB and MSBS members, so the government-defined benefit schemes, your 5 and 10% contributions count towards your non-concessional cap. So each year a PSS member has the option to put in an amount of money, and the maximum is 10%. If you're earning $100,000 and putting in 10, then obviously your $100,000 non-concessional limit in any one year is 90, not 100. So just don't get caught there because they do count. And same with the concessionals. You can't just put 25 in. There is an amount recorded within your defined benefit scheme, so check it before you put it in.
And we talk about the super splitting.
Yeah, look, that's another one. I didn't realise I could do that.
Yeah,
you can make the most of it because over the longer term, it's an awesome strategy.
Do I only have to have cash to put into this?
Well, anything where you make a deductible contribution,
okay.
You get to the end of the financial year and then you write to your respective fund in July and say, hey, Mr. Fund, I'd like to split it over here to my partner. and then they'll facilitate that for you. But that has to be done after the end of the financial year. So that's another one that's really good. And you can transfer assets into super. It doesn't have to be cash.
Right.
So if I've got...
You don't have the money in the bank to do this.
Correct. So, for example, if I've got $10,000 of ABC shares...
Okay.
Okay. I can transfer those shares into my super fund, provided my fund will allow this type of transfer.
Okay, so check that.
And I can claim it either as a non-concessional contribution or a concessional contribution. Okay, so it's really important here that you get your paperwork right, because a lot of people come in and say, well, I've put the money in, my fund will treat it like X. Well, you need to check with your fund, because funds can be slightly different. And a general rule that I apply is it's non-concessional unless you tell them otherwise.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's really important, because if you don't fill out the right paperwork, you could actually rob yourself of the tax deduction when you pop down and see your account in the new financial year.
This is important.
Well, it's an expensive mistake.
Yeah.
You put $25,000 in, you could potentially be saving $6,000 or more, depending on your marginal tax rate, just because you didn't fill a form in.
Yeah.
So get
it's your choice,
right.
Isn't it? Your choice.
Yeah, don't assume.
There's no shame in getting things right, I always say.
Exactly right. Yep.
Okay, if you missed our conversations today about putting extra money into your super concessional, non-concessional, there are myriads of ways to get to
it. Yeah, look, exactly. We're trying to expand the education platform that people can sort of access. Obviously, we've got the YouTube channel.
Yes, good.
Envision Financial Canberra. We've had some really good feedback about that. People can Google that. Watch the show. We've got some educational tips through the footage there. Apple podcast.
Yep.
The Strategy Stacker. Search that. Luke Talks Money. We've got the show there, and we're going to start our interview series in the coming weeks with third-party providers so that we can clarify why you need a will.
Yeah.
What's a good accountant do? Mm. Why do you need a mortgage broker? All of the things that people mean to get to or don't utilise because they don't understand their value. So we're gonna add that in. And obviously people can go onto our website at www.envisionfinancial.com.au and they can go to the Knowledge Centre, register there, and there's a myriad of information.
Yes, stacks.
There's a library of stuff in there that they can take advantage of.
But get a coffee to sit down and watch
it. Yeah, and come and see Barb and she'll roll a coffee.
And the good thing about this, you can freeze it too, and you could say, what did they say about that, and go back.
Exactly, and what we've done, especially on the YouTube channel, is we've cut in halfway through the show. And obviously at the end of the show, the key takeouts for people of the conversation that we've had, so they can make some notes and then go and look under the hood at whatever they have or consider their options and see if it's something that they can make the most of.
Yeah, we're getting toward the end of the financial year, so start making these decisions which impact your money at the end of the financial year.
If you're early, never late.
Yeah, that's it. Envision Financial, 4452 Townsend Street, down the end, near the roundabout, it's upstairs, big windows, you can't miss them, 6260474. Make that all-important duck in a row, as they say, for your finances.
Exactly.
Tomorrow is E-Day, Election Day.
It is. Oof.
We'll see what happens.
Wobbling.
Yeah, and get that box of tissues out again.
Exactly right. I'll keep them handy.
Yeah, have a good weekend.
Thanks, money.